This is your Polycast for Friday, September 2nd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, health insurance rates may spike next year, and the Sandpiper pipeline is no more. Enbridge Energy has withdrawn its application for the proposed Sandpiper oil pipeline across northern Minnesota. The company made the announcement after finalizing its $1.5 billion investment in the Bakken pipeline system to carry oil from North Dakota to Illinois and Gulf Coast refineries. Enbridge President Mike Mackey says the company could propose Sandpiper again if oil production increases in North Dakota.
Bakken, we think, will grow as you see prices improve. And when that happens, and we're talking, outside of our five-year window, we think that there's going to be a need for additional transportation solutions out of that basin.
Opponents of Sandpiper celebrated the decision. They argued that the proposed route across northern Minnesota threatens sensitive lakes and rivers. If you buy your own health insurance, expect another big hike in premiums next year. Six Minnesota health plans are again proposing double-digit rate increases between from 40 and 67% on average, Matt Sepik reports.
The cardinal rule of survival in the health insurance business is you have to have more money coming in the door from premiums than you shell out in payments to doctors and hospitals. Abiding by that rule has been difficult for Minnesota health plans over the last few years, at least for sellers of individual and family plans. Cynthia Cox, who studies health insurance markets at the Kaiser Family Foundation, says companies were overly optimistic when the MinSures State Exchange launched 3 years ago. They set their prices low, hoping that premium revenue from an influx of new and healthy customers would offset the expenses from those they could no longer refuse, people with pre-existing conditions. Cox says Minnesota had the lowest premiums in the country when the Affordable Care Act started, but the insurers' pricing turned out to be way too generous.
The plans are still kind of playing this catch-up game where they realize they priced too low in the first couple of years, and now that they have enough data to more accurately price, they're having to significantly increase their premiums.
Customers who weathered double-digit price hikes for this year will have to batten down the hatches again for 2017. Blue Plus, the HMO run by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota, is seeking an average hike of 40%. UCares is 67%. Health Partners, Medica, and Preferred One are all in the same ballpark. The new rates, which still need the approval of state regulators, are only for individual and family plans bought directly from insurance companies or through MinSure. They'll affect about 137,000 Minnesotans, but not those enrolled in employer-sponsored plans. The overall message from the industry is that insurers are losing a lot of money. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota, the state's largest insurer, says its losses over the last 3 years are around $500 million. Jim Showalter, president of the trade group representing state health plans, says medical costs are growing and some Affordable Care Act financial supports are ending. But that's not the whole story.
The premiums just haven't been covering everyone's medical expenses. And so whether that's changing rules, rising medical expenses, or just new people with high medical costs showing up, the bottom line is it hasn't added up. And that's what the regulators are trying to get to.
Showalter says both health insurance companies and regulators are trying to figure out why the plans can't make ends meet. In public documents, some of the plans say sick people are driving prices higher. Preferred One, which is not selling health plans on MinSure, is asking for increases between 48 and 100%. Its filing says, quote, the biggest driver of the rate change is the increasing illness level of individual policyholders. Blue Plus says it's expecting an exodus to continue of, quote, relatively low-cost individuals. The only silver lining in all of this, from the customer's point of view anyway, is that more people could qualify for federal subsidies. MinSure CEO Allison O'Toole says in Minnesota, those are only available to people who buy plans through the state health exchange she runs, so it's worthwhile to check out the latest prices.
It's counterintuitive, but when rates go up, so does the value of tax credits. So people who weren't eligible last year might be this year, and they might be getting more. And so it really, those tax credits can be really important in a year when we're seeing significant rate increases again.
O'Toole says an estimated 100,000 Minnesotans are not using tax credits they're eligible for. The Minnesota Commerce Department is expected to give final approval to the new rates at the end of the month. O'Toole says MinSure customers can start shopping for 2017 health plans on October 1st. Covering health, I'm Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Canoe loads of visitors are expected in the Boundary Waters this Labor Day weekend. And in fact, new figures from the U.S. Forest Service show an uptick in visits to the wilderness area. But overall, there's been a slow but steady decline in visitors to the BWCA over the past few years, especially among younger people. Dan Crocker has the story.
Last week, Courtney and Mickey Brennett were getting ready to embark on a weekend adventure in the Boundary Waters. The 30-something sisters from the Twin Cities were introduced to the Boundary Waters by their dad.
It's beautiful and peaceful and quiet,
and it's a cheap vacation.
Yeah.
But they both say most of their friends don't come to the Boundary Waters.
I think there's a lot of fear of going all the way up and into the woods where your phone doesn't work.
Be safe out there.
All right, thank you.
That's John Schiefelbein bidding them farewell. For the past 33 years, he's helped alleviate that fear factor at North Country Canoe Outfitters on White Iron Lake outside Ely. Nowadays, he says he sees fewer 20 and 30-somethings like the Brennas and more 40 and 50-year-olds.
People are looking for a quick return on their vacation. I want to go out and do my adventure this afternoon, and tonight I want to be able to post it so that all my friends know what I'm doing. And you can't do that here.
The Forest Service issued Boundary Waters permits to 143,000 people in 2015. That's about 10,000 more than the year before. But before that, visitation had consistently dropped since 2010. And the agency's last demographic study showed the average age of Boundary Waters visitors increased from 26 in 1969 to 36 in 1991 to 45 in 2007. That's concerning to Gus Smith, district ranger for the Superior National Forest in Ely.
We need to, you know, start investing in our future today or 5 years ago so that we have that group that takes their kids and their grandkids into the B-Dub.
Some of that investment is happening with groups like the Boy Scouts and the YMCA. Forest Service permit statistics don't include trips nonprofit groups lead into the Boundary Waters. Tom Kranz is director of camping for the Twin Cities YMCA, which operates three camps at the edge of the Boundary Waters. Combined, they send nearly 1,500 kids into the wilderness every summer.
One of the benefits to our camp is that the parents don't have to go on the trip. The kids can go with us. You know, when I was a kid, my parents went on a trip with us. When my kids were growing up, I went on trips with them. It is challenging for some families to want to do that.
Because people are busy, and well, trips in the Boundary Waters can be hard, as anyone who's ever survived a grueling portage can attest. And that's one of the reasons why Ada Igo argues millennials should visit the Boundary Waters. Igo runs Tuscarora Lodge and Canoe Outfitters on the Gunflint Trail.
I am 31, so not ancient, but even still, you're like, oh, this is harder than it was 10 years ago. So if you want to see some of these areas, you need to go now because it is never going to be easier for you to do it.
Igo bought the business last year with her partner. She had seen the statistics of the aging Boundary Waters visitor, but that's not what she's experienced.
The thing that surprised me a lot was how many young people we do see through here. We see a lot of college-age kids, a lot of young adults in their 20s or early 30s taking canoe trips.
The key, say people like Forest Service Ranger Gus Smith, is whether those young visitors will come back for repeat visits like earlier generations did and then come back again with their kids. Like Michael Keefe from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I met him at the end of a 6-day trip with his son and two grandsons.
There's a lot of people out there. We were out there, quite a bit of campsite was full, and a lot of people moving around. We saw parents with young children, 4 or 5 years old, even saw parents with a newborn there with them. So there's people still introducing this environment to their kids, which is really great.
Many outfitters report strong business this year. They're anxious to see if that's reflected in Forest Service statistics next year, perhaps showing a new trend away from the slow decline in visitation to what's still one of the country's most popular wilderness areas. Covering the environment, I'm Dan Crocker, Minnesota Public Radio News, Ely.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. Have a great Labor Day weekend. I am out of town and away from the podcast production facility next week, but I'll see you here the week after next.